Well, praise the Lord. He put me on the spot. All that kind words and globally known. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Pastor. I want to say welcome to you from your Oasis family. We've been looking forward to this. My church is praying, have been praying for you for quite some time. Now, I want to tell you, I got the call here a few weeks ago about coming and ministering here on Pastor Appreciation Day. My information I initially received said that I would be ministering at the 9 a.m. service and the 11 a.m. service. Now, about 25 years ago, we had to go to two services on Sunday morning at our church until we built our new sanctuary. And I just could not preach the same sermon to both groups of people. So I was preparing two sermons, two messages every Sunday morning. And that's what I did for Loxley. So I'm going to preach both of them at this one service. Amen. I told Pastor Brandon, I said, now look, if I get too long, I said, you please, let me know, because I want to respect your time. I understand that you have a 9 o'clock service, and many of you probably come to that service, and you don't want to have to sit here all day. But I do have a word from the Lord, and it will seem like it is two messages. Okay, because a few years ago, I don't want to go into any great detail, but a few years ago, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon me. I was interceding for you, the Loxley Church, and the Spirit of the Lord moved on me and gave me a word for this church. It's been a few years ago. And I presented it to one of our state officials and told them that at that time you guys were without a pastor. And I told him, I said, look, you know, I don't want to run my name at Loxley. Not that I would not honor being your pastor, but I'm at the church where I've been almost 40 years. And God told me when I was 24 years old that it would be the only church I ever pastored. So I wasn't looking then, but I shared with the official that I had a word for the church. And I said, I don't want to go on Sunday or Wednesday. I said, I'll go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning. I said, meet with ever how many shows up. But I said, I know God spoke to me about what he wants the church there at Loxley to hear. It's been a few years ago. And I thought, well, you know, it's not going to happen. But God. So I have to believe and trust that today, on Pastor Brandon and Karen's 1-year anniversary, and Pastor Appreciation, that it is the right timing. I might have been premature if I'd have came then, but today is the right time. The right people are here. The ones that God wants to hear that word is here. So that word will actually close out this message, and it may seem kind of a little confusing. Amen. But let me just get that out of the way and say how good it is to be with Pastor Brandon and Karen Morrison. They served me for about 11 years on staff there at Oasis. I saved his life. I can't go in detail how he got to be at Oasis, but I'll say this. I was at a high school football game. He was participating in that game. And I was there to observe some young ladies in my church that were in the band. And I saw Brandon on the field that Friday night. And the Spirit of the Lord said he'll be at your church and do a great work. He's number 87. I remembered that number. I told those two girls there what the Spirit of the Lord had spoke to me. And I'm going to tell you what they said. There's no way. Now, I really didn't ask them why they said it that way. There is no way. But that's what they said. Long story, but anyway, I'll fast forward a little bit. His stepdad was doing some work for me there at the church, laying some flooring. And I'd known him for quite some time, known of him, his stepdad. And he mentioned his son was going to be coming up and visiting and was going to become the church with them. I had talked these guys into coming to church and worshiping with us. And so he said, my son's going to be up from Auburn, and he's going to come with us. So they came, and then they came back that night. And I was able to really talk to Pastor Brandon that night. And I introduced him to some of the people, but I introduced him as Brandon Goodson. That was his stepdad's name, Goodson. And Brandon said, no, sir, my name's Morrison. And I said, number 87. And he said, "What?" I said, you played football West Blockton High School. You wore number 87. He said, that's right. I said, the Spirit of God said that you would be at this church and do a great work for God. He and Karen was at Auburn University. Hallelujah. We saved their life and brought them to Oasis. Amen. Hallelujah. He backslides every now and then, but amen. But I want to tell you, these two, they made the way. Actually, a lot of people don't know this, but Pastor Brandon, he started our choir, and we were struggling, and well, what a wonderful time we had in worship this morning. Amen. Well, if I'd had this group in 1983, I'd have been, but amen, we were struggling. But Pastor Brian and Karen came, and he started the choir, and that choir still exists today. And that's been numerous years ago. We still have a CE board, Christian Education Board, that Karen birthed in her tenure there. And we still use her material. And they met last Sunday, actually, and they shared with me at our staff meeting on Monday about, you know, the material that they used that Karen had put together. I've known them almost all their life, and I've seen them really struggle in about every way that you can struggle, but they've stood strong, and I want to tell you, Loxley, you are blessed to have this couple as your pastors. Amen. You could have me, and that might not be good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I want to ask you a question. Hey, let me say this. Thank you guys for putting us up in a one-time experience. I'll never be able to stay there again. It's called the Grand Hotel. I've never had a bellboy take my luggage to the room, and I didn't know how to act. I didn't know. I mean, you know, you can hear money jingling when you walk around that place. You know, but you were so gracious, and my wife and I thoroughly enjoyed last night. Thank all the staff here for your hard work on getting us in there, because we had some problems with some getting in, but we got there. Amen. Elders, thank you for allowing me to be here today. Well, I don't have but 2.5 hours, so I need to move on. Joshua chapter 4. But let me get to that question. Now, I want to let me just say something. I was born physically, born. And born into a Pentecostal family. My grandmother was born in 1900. In 1916, she received the baptism in the Holy Ghost as a 16-year-old girl. She later became a street preacher along with my wife's granddaddy, who had received the baptism in the Holy Ghost as a young man. So they were doing ministry together. Now, my wife and I didn't know that until after we were married and in ministry. And his name came up one day, and my grandmother looked astonished and said, "You're talking about Monroe Rice?" "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Lord, have mercy." So my wife and I, she was 12 years old when I asked her to marry me. Now, don't look at me like that. I wasn't but 13. Amen. And we have been together since. So we both had a heritage. We both had the background of Pentecostalism. My grandmother was healed of tuberculosis in 1963. I'm sure you've heard of Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts prayed for her, and she was healed. I was healed of tuberculosis when I was 5 years old. I was healed of hepatitis C when I was 9 years old. And I'm not going to go into my medical history, but I'm here today because of the power of Pentecost. Now let me ask a question. How many of you here this morning are Pentecostal? Would you raise your hand? It's okay. There's nothing wrong with being Pentecostal. Yeah, Timo Shariani Mokase. I stand here today blessed to say I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I stand here today to say I'm honored to say that I pray in the Spirit and I speak in tongues. Amen. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, "Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man. And command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones." Somebody say 12 stones with me. "And you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night." Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, "Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan. And take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when I passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. I want to talk to you this morning about the stones of Pentecost. In preparing for today's message, I thought about how we use this phrase when we observe something that's old. We might say it's dated. Anybody ever use that term? It's dated. Well, when you look at me this morning, I'm dated. Amen. Now, I don't say this with any disrespect whatsoever, but I believe I'm the only joker in here with a tie on. That dates me. But I wear one every Sunday that I minister. My staff, they do not wear one. My congregation, very few of them wear one. They dress a lot like you. But this is me. But I'm dated. Not only does the tie date me, but the gray hair dates me. I'm dated. Thank God your sanctuary is not dated. It's modern, and that's good. My wife and I, we stayed in Orange Beach a few days this week. We have a couple of granddaughters that live there. Got some great grandchildren there. And we stayed in a condo there in Orange Beach, and we're sitting on the balcony, and she said, you know, this place is dated. I said, I'm glad you said that. I said, that confirms that I need to mention that to the church Sunday morning. I said, but what do you mean dated? She said, well, the paint. It paints the color of it. It's dated. The carpet, the furniture, it's dated. In other words, what she was saying and her expertise of decor, amen, it's old and needs to be changed. Amen. So we use that at describing something that's outdated. It's dated. Now I'm here to tell you this morning, this is a beautiful campus. And yes, it's not outdated. It looks wonderful. And the way you're dressed, whether it's casual, whether it's business casual, whether it's dress, or however, it don't really matter. It don't really matter. But I'm afraid that the church has tried to outdate Pentecost. I'm afraid the church has reached a place in many areas where Pentecost is no longer important. I'm afraid that the church has reached a place where they think that they can get along without the baptism in the Holy Ghost and the fire of Pentecost. But I came here today to let you know, just as much as the book of Acts needed this experience of Pentecost, you and I, in this day, October 2nd, 2022, you and I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit that produces Pentecost. I'm not ashamed of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at this scripture, Joshua was instructed to get a man from each tribe, 12 tribes, 12 men, 12 stones. I don't have time today to go into the 12 stones that I could go into. The praise team sang a lot about one of them, and that's the name of Jesus. That's a stone that Pentecostals have leaned on. Amen. I don't have time to go into that one. I prayed. I said, Lord, I said, what do you want? What three stones do you want me to talk about in the morning or this week? He said to me, he said, I want you to talk about the verbal inspiration of the Bible. This is not dated. Hallelujah. It has not changed, nor will it change. I don't care how many modern ministries try to change the scripture and make it about you and make it about me, it's not going to work. Because it's not about you and it's not about me, but it's about Him. And I want to tell you one more thing. There's not a motivational speech that you can hear that will transform your life and change you from an old creature to a new creature, like hearing the word of the living God. When he said, if you hear this word, you believe this word, you act on this word, old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. Why doesn't it change? Because Jesus doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to talk to you this morning about the verbal inspiration of the Bible. You see, now, I'm Church of God. I think last time I looked up Loxley, it was a Church of God. Am I right? Now, I really don't mean a lot. It really don't. You can be Pentecostal and be whatever, as long as you're Pentecostal. But we are known worldwide as a Pentecostal church. Are you listening to me? Okay. So we believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. Number two, we believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now these are stones I want to talk to you about. Number three, we believe in divine healing. Do you believe in divine healing? That's okay to be Pentecostal. You're not going to frighten me. Amen. Matter of fact, let me tell you something a little humorous before we get started. Pastor Brandon's sister was sitting on the front row at our church one Sunday morning. The place was packed out. Sitting beside her, over kind of beside her, was one of our high school coaches, Rod Foster. And church was kind of just going along, you know. I was preaching, kind of like, you know, I mean, we were just getting into it. And all of a sudden, hallelujah, I heard this scream. And Pastor Brandon's sister, she screamed, said, "Woo!" And Coach Foster got up and run. He took off running. He played college football. He was a pretty fast guy. And I'm watching him go. And Jennifer, she never got up. And I asked her, I said, after, I mean, the altar's filled up, Josh. Altar filled up. People started coming to the altar. I mean, we started seeing people, you know, crying, weeping, getting saved and getting healed and getting delivered. And I asked Jennifer, I said, you never moved. She said, Pastor. She said, I felt something on my leg and I looked down and a roach was crawling up my. That's a true story, Pastor Brian. Well, God let some roaches crawl up some folks' legs in here this morning. And somebody get some Pentecost in them, amen, and let's have church up in this place. Hallelujah. It's okay. It's all right. Nothing wrong with it. Well, you don't know where we've been. You don't know what. Listen, I've been at the same church 40 years. You can't tell me nothing you've been through that I ain't seen happen. I wore the T-shirt, rode the bull, done it all. I know what you're going through. I know what you've been through. I know where you're going. Amen? But I want to tell you this. It doesn't change the fact that he's still the same. He's still Jesus, and he's still worthy to be praised. Amen? Hallelujah. So, Father, whatever it takes in this house this morning, to get somebody stirred up with Pentecost, let the fire of Pentecost fall in this house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lucas, I want to tell you, son, I appreciate you putting all this together, but I don't really know which way I'm going to go. Thank him for the media department, very important ministry in the church, but I'm at a place right now, I'm just going to let the Holy Ghost lead me. Amen. I've got a whole bunch of stuff written down here. Amen. Come here, Pastor Brandon. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you this to preach one day. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. I prayed all morning. I mean, I've been up early. And my wife will tell you. Now, she wouldn't lie for me if somebody would had a gun in my head and said, look, if you don't lie, we're going to kill him. She'd say, go ahead. I said, baby. Told her this morning early. Woke her up early. I said, baby, I don't know. I don't really know what God wants me to do. I said, I've got the word that he gave me, but I also got this that I feel like the church needs a revival of Pentecost. I feel like that they need to base what they're doing in the on the Word of God. And I know you do. As long as this pastor's here, it's going to be the Word of God. But I want them to have a revival and a fresh move of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know, there's some in here this morning. I feel this in my spirit. You receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was 14 years old when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm 71 now. Amen. He hadn't changed. He hasn't changed. I still need him. And then there's some in here who need healing. You know, you need healing in your body. And let me tell you what the Church of God believes. We believe that divine healing is provided for all in the atonement. Article number 11 in our Declaration of Faith. Why? Because we're Pentecostal. Now, I don't know what you did. I really don't. I really don't know what you did during the pandemic. You know what we did? We had church. Anointed people sick. We anointed them with oil. We prayed over them. 1 week, I had 300 out with COVID in 1 week. Next week, they all 300 were back. Amen. Our attendance grew during the pandemic. I don't know what you've done. Don't want to know. Me and Brandon never really talked about this. Matter of fact, he wasn't even here then, really. I don't know what you did. But here's what I felt. I felt like if Jesus healed the sick, told me to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover, amen, that's the word of God. It doesn't change. Amen. So I'm going to anoint with oil, and I'm going to lay hands on the sick. What Jesus said in the word? That we shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, that's hard to do 6 foot apart. My arms are not 6 foot long. Now, I don't want to offend nobody, but if you get offended because the word says something, I'm sorry. But we can't anoint people with oil, lay hands on them, if we're social distancing. We still believe in divine healing. Sickness doesn't change the fact and the authority of the Word of God. Sickness and disease does not change the will of God. Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8 says that these things were done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah. Amen. See, that scripture in Isaiah was fulfilled in Matthew, and it said Jesus healed all. Not few, not one occasionally, but all that were sick, he healed them all. And he's still the healer today. He's still the baptizer today. On the day of Pentecost, 120 in the upper room, all 120 received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Our roots are in Pentecost. Our foundation are in Pentecost. They're stones. Why is it important? You got some children around here. I think I heard 49 was in children's church last week. Is that right? Well, if those 49 kids don't see some of you operating in the spiritual gifts and allowing the Pentecostal move to come upon you and through you and in this church, how do you think they're ever going to know what Pentecost is? Some of you older saints, you know what I'm talking about when we say pray in the Spirit. Well, how are the children going to know how to pray in the Spirit if you never pray in the Spirit anymore? How are they going to know what healing is if we don't anoint with oil and pray over the sick anymore? How will they ever know about spiritual gifts unless they operate in our church? These shall be a sign unto your children. I can hear that wind blowing. Somebody give the Lord praise this morning. Turn with me to 2 Kings. Now, I wished I had time to preach that whole message. Chapter 4. Begin reading in verse 8. This is the word. Pastor Brandon, to put a timeline on this, you think it'd be okay for me to share with the church when he spoke to me? I won't do it. Be okay? And I don't want to bring up anything that would create any grief or sadness. But when Pastor Knapp was killed in the four-wheeler accident, tore me up. And I'm going to be honest with you. For about 3 days, the only thing I could do was pray for Loxley Church and Pastor Knapp's family. That's the only thing I prayed. And God spoke this scripture to my spirit and said, take that message to that church. That's been a few years ago. Loxley, I'm not here today as a pastor. I'm here today as a prophet of God. You're not sitting right now in an ordinary atmosphere. This is not ordinary. This is something different. And what it is, it's a prophetic anointing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shada mastik on a motadi. Hadibisen on a matia shanamakata. Will you promise me you'll read that scripture when you get alone? 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 through about verse 36. Santema da basite kema. The Holy Ghost said to me, he said, I want you to go tell that church. He said this to me before he gave me the scripture. He said, I want you to go tell that church to never let the promise of God die. And he said, go to 2 Kings. He began to speak to me. He said, you tell him, he said, the Logos. And that's why I wanted to go into the word, baptism and healing. That's the Logos promises of God. He promised us another comforter. Amen. Those are Logos. What do you mean Logos? I mean it's the word. It's the written word of God. Promises in the word of God that belong to all of you. There's not a promise in the word of God that you as a born-again believer cannot lay claim to. But then he spoke to me and he said, but there's going to be some there that have been that I have spoken a rhema promise to. What is a rhema promise? It's a promise that God spoke to you in your spirit. It can be confirmed with the word of God, but it's a personal promise. It was just to you. And some of you, the Spirit of the Lord is saying, some of you, that promise was given many years ago, but it has not come to fruition yet. But because of struggle, because of hardship, because of circumstances, because of trials, because of setbacks, because of valleys, because of mountains, because of broken relationships, because of hurt, because of disappointment, because of frustration, because of failure. Amen. Some of you have let that promise of God die. But God said, tell you today that he's here in your presence to revive that promise. I'm just going to go through this story. The Shunammite woman. Elisha was coming by her and her husband's house. He stopped in. They'd prepare him a meal. He would eat, him and his servant Gehazi. They would eat, go on their way. One day the woman said to her husband, let's build him a room. Let's build a room where when the man of God comes by, he'll have somewhere to rest. Here's the word to you, Locke. Let me tell you something. From now till we say amen, you better listen closely. What that scripture is saying to us today, build a room that will house the anointing. Why is the anointing important? Because the anointing destroys the yoke that binds. Honey, we need this anointing. We need this anointing. We need this man. We need this presence. Let's build him a room adjacent to our house. In other words, it's important to house the anointing. I want to ask you, Loxley, are you equipped? Are you ready to house it? Fast forward a little bit. Came a day when the prophet of God said to his servant, go ask the woman what she needs. In other words, let me tell you something. The anointing of God is always ready to meet your need. I feel like somebody just kicked a roach off their leg because I'm about to run. See, the anointing of God doesn't come to give you chicken skin. You know that is goosebumps. You ever plucked a chicken? Not just for goosebumps, Josh. This not just for a quickening. Not just for showmanship. Not just where you can say, I felt something. The anointing of God is to equip you that you can walk in the power of God. That demons will tremble. Hell will shake. Fear will be dismissed. Faith will arise. Your enemies shall be scattered. The anointing will destroy the yoke. Let me tell you something, church. There are those who say they're anointed, and then there's those that are. Why are you saying that? Don't let those who say they are and are not anointed affect you and your walk with God. I feel the Holy Ghost. There's always going to be impersonators. Always going to be those who say they are anointed. Amen. And they may have people follow them and they may deceive a few people. But then there's this falling away. There's this that comes where people become distraught because they realize that that person was not anointed. My God, Holy Ghost, let your Holy Ghost move here today, Father. Hey, my time was some okay, many. How did I say my nearly sin? Brother, I'm gonna be gone from here today. Amen. But and it don't matter what I do tomorrow. It don't matter what I do next week. What matters is whether or not, my brother, God bless you. What matters today is what you get out of this service. What matters today is where you place that anointing. Where is that anointing? Where it do you, have you felt that anointing lately? Have you laid hands on somebody lately under the anointing of the Holy Ghost? God bless you, brother, with a tie on. Hallelujah. I know you're anointed. Hallelujah. See, I hope not, but I could leave here today and I doubt it, but I could just leave God and forsake God. Amen. But that's not going to change what God's doing in here right now. We let too much affect us, amen, that people do. Listen, I'm not looking at but one, and I'm looking to the one he said, look unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. Loxley, the Holy Ghost is saying to you this morning, take your eyes off the past. Take your eyes off the past. Put your eyes on now and the future. God's wanting to take this church to another level. He's wanting this church to be the lighthouse. He's wanting this church to be the Pentecostal church in this county. We don't need another progressive church. It's all right to use some of the methods, but we want to be the Pentecostal church. What are you talking about? I'm talking about where when the Holy Ghost moves, we move. I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost gets us stirred up, we get stirred up. I'm talking about when praise and worship is going on, that we praise and we worship. I'm talking about where we move with the anointing of God and we have the power of the Holy Ghost that will shake us. Amen. What does she want? What does she need? I want a son, basically. But I'm barren. And Elisha said, tell her, about this time next year, she'll have a son. What was that, brother? That was the anointing of God giving her a promise. That was the man of God under the anointing of giving her a promise. Hello? Sure enough, about that time, she had a son. Yeah. And the word said he got to be 12 years old. He was in the field working with his dad. And this promise, somebody say promise. This promise grabbed his head. Said, my head, my head. And I feel he fell over unconscious. Now look what the dad did. He told a servant, said, take him to his mama. Isn't that what the scripture said? Take him to his mama. They took the promise to his mama. Laid the promise in her lap. But about noon, that promise died. I said, that promise died. What are you saying? That promise was 12 years old. But now it's dead. Some of you in here, God gave you a rhema promise more than 12 years ago. Some of you less than 12. Some of you maybe this week God spoke a promise to you. Brother, the anointing done drawed me over here the last time. Stand up. I don't know what promise God. Whew. I don't know. I may be wrong. As there's a word that keeps going over and over and over in my spirit. and it's business. 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 You own a business? You run a business. How's it doing?
So far, so good.
So far, so good. You want it to grow?
Sure.
Amen. Receive it. Now, here's something else from the Holy Ghost. He's saying, call. Call. I don't know what that means, but call. Something God spoke to you a long time ago. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Here's this 12-year-old promise laying dead. How many of us at that point would just give up? Just quit. God spoke to me in 1976. Told me, said, you're a pastor. Back then, the name of the church was Chase Valley. Matter of fact, the Church of God had it for sale. When I went there, it was for sale. You'll pastor this church and be the only church you ever pastor. 1983, I went there with four people. I had a promise, sweetheart. I said I had a promise. Was it always easy? No. It wasn't always easy. But I never, when hard times came, come on, and they came. When bills were due and we didn't have the money to pay it. When people were leaving, one brother told me this morning, he said he'd been here at the church about 30 years. He said, I've seen a lot of pastors come and go. I said, I've seen a lot of members come and go. Amen. I had best friends, people that I'm talking about, best friends that abandoned us, turned on us, started churches. Hallelujah. Stand up, son. You saved? You got the Holy Ghost? Lift your hands up. You know what the Holy Ghost said to me about you? He wants you to operate in the spiritual gifts. Come a little closer. Come out here. Come on around here. Look at me. Look at me now. Lift your hands up. The Holy Ghost said for you to study the Word of God. Study 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14. You hear me? Shara Mastokatia. You get those in your spirit. You know all nine of the gifts by memory. You don't operate in them as you will, but as He wills. You will operate in those gifts. You are going to transform the youth of this church when you begin to marabasata, operate in the gifts of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Don't be afraid, son. How many of you in this room right now, God's given you a rhema promise? Maybe it's a lost son or daughter's coming home. Huh? Raise your hand. We're Pentecostal. It's okay. Don't raise it in faith. Has anybody in here ever been given a promise? Anybody in here sick in your body and God said, I'm going to heal you? Raise your hand. His promises are yea and amen. You've had every opportunity to let it die and stay dead. But God sent me down here today to tell you today is a day of resurrection. This woman said to her servant, now I read from the King James Version. I don't know what you read from. It don't matter. But don't get upset with me because I just like the King James Version. Amen. I'm just reading it straight out of the book. Told her servant, go saddle my ass. I've got to get to the man of God. What was she saying? She was saying, I've got to get to the man of God. I've got to get, you getting it, brother. I've got to get to the anointing of God that promised me this promise. Because if I can just get in the presence of the anointing of God, my son, my promise will live and not die. Pastor Brandon, I just heard the Holy Ghost say to me, every person in this room and every person that's supposed to be in this room, that's not in this room, this word right here is for this entire church. God has given this entire church a rhema word. And that rhema word is that you will live and not die. And you will do what the Holy Ghost has called you to do. Every ministry that you have desired to grow will grow. Everything that you want to happen will happen. Everything that God has said to you shall come to pass. Josh, get my Bible for me up there, son. I love this boy here. I think I dedicated him to the Lord, didn't I, Karen? He wasn't quite as big then. That's your daddy's Bible. That's all right. I don't want to throw mine anyway. Thank you, Josh. You're a man of wisdom. Let me tell you something, church. Here's what the Holy Ghost... I told my church, I told Pastor Brandon and Karen this. They know what I'm about to say. Josh, you probably heard it, just too young to remember then. I'm not being disrespectful to this word. Amen. God spoke to me about this church. And when it didn't happen, I didn't get to come. I threw it on the ground. Not to forget it. Because here's what I've said for 40 years. If God says something, throw it on the ground. And if God said it, it'll live and it'll not die. All these years later, I'm here bringing this word to you. Why? Because it was God's word and it's lived and it has not died. Loxley, I'm telling you this morning by the authority of the Holy Ghost, don't let the promises of God die. Don't let what God has spoken, maybe through other pastors, through members, through evangelists that come. I can go all the way back to the founding pastor of this church, if I'm not mistaken, was Brother Reed. I'm good friends with his oldest son now, Larry. He's 78 years old. Amen. I've kept up with this church. Ernest Quinley. I remember when Brother Quinley was here. Others I've followed. I remember he's a missionary now. Brother Manning Thornton. I remember when Manning. I remember I passed this church on the way back and forth from Gulf Shores and Orange Beach. And every time I pass, I have a connection, a bond in my spirit with you guys. Never met you. Didn't know you. Amen, but I knew God gave me a word. And God's made this church a lighthouse. Come on, I need somebody that really believes that God's in this house. Amen. God has made this church a lighthouse. I remember coming back from Gulf Shores one time, coming up, I could see the church from a long way off. And I remember feeling the presence of God. And I knew that this was a house. Pastor, I'm telling you. And it hadn't changed. This house housed the anointing of God. And I think God wants you, the people here at Lockley, He wants you to resurrect that anointing this morning. Go saddle my ass. I've got to get to the anointing. I heard somebody ask a question. I heard it in the spirit. He said, why didn't the daddy take that son who had fell over unconscious to his mama? I got an answer to that question. If you ask it, I got an answer. It wasn't the daddy's promise. Quit waiting on somebody else to keep the promise. that God gave you alive. It's your responsibility. It's your promise. You've got to get in the presence of God, not somebody else. Don't count on the one sitting beside you. The promise is yours. You got to keep it alive. Don't wait on the pastor to keep it alive. Don't wait on the small group leader to keep it alive. Don't wait on Grove Track to keep it alive. Don't wait on the music pastor to keep it alive. Don't wait on the youth pastor or the children's pastor. Don't wait on them to keep it alive. God said, I gave you the promise. I'm asking you to saddle up and go get the anointing of God back in your life where the promise of God will live again. They made their way to the man of God. Elisha saw her coming from a great way off. Sent Gehazi, said, go ask the woman. Is it well with her husband? Is it well with her? Is it well with her son? Is it well with the promise? Now when she left, the promise was dead. Huh? But all the way there, this was what her expectation was. If I can just get the anointing to come back to the house, not just anywhere in the house, but in the room that I built to house the anointing, that's where she laid the son. On Elisha's bed. Hallelujah. Because this is where the anointing lived. This is where the anointing resided. This is where the anointing dwelled. If I can just get the anointing. Somebody say, just get the anointing. If I can just get it back. If I can just get. And she said, but she made a confession of faith. Is it well? She said, it is well. Why? She had that kind of faith in the anointing. A few years ago, I don't know why. They never could tell me why. Well, yeah, I just hit me, Pastor. It was where God could get glory. My kidneys failed. Complete kidney failure. We don't know what's happening. Your kidneys won't ever function again. Matter of fact, we don't even know if dialysis will work. They said, if you will permit us, we'll do one dialysis and see what happens. So I agreed. Surgeon came in, went in an artery here in my neck and put a port about that long. Put it in there. That was early morning. That afternoon we had dialysis. It was on a Wednesday. I called my music pastor that evening. They practice praise and worship. They practice on Wednesday nights after Bible study. They were in practice. I said, Pastor Mike, pray. I need the anointing of God to show up on me tonight. So that night they prayed. The next morning, I told you a while ago, you better be glad you got Pastor Brandon. Because he wouldn't dare say what I say sometimes from the pulpit. They prayed. The next morning, my wife's with me. I said, baby. She said, yeah. I said, get me something. I got to pee. She said, you got to what? I said, baby, if you don't get me something, I'm fixing to pee on this bed. I got to go. So I don't know. They didn't have nothing. I wasn't supposed to pee. She run and grabbed something. And anyway, I sat up on the side of the bed. And man, it felt like I peed for 30 minutes. And while I'm sitting up on the bed, I felt something hit on my shoulder. Baby, tell the truth. I know you will. I felt it hit on my shoulder, and then I looked around. She said, "What was that?" She heard it hit the bed. I looked around, and there lay this port on the bed without a drop of blood on it. No blood coming out of the incision. She run, got the nurse. Nurse said, "Oh, my God, he'll bleed out." How did that come out? I don't know. Well, I do know. The anointing. Because, brother, when the nurse got in, she looked.
Not even incision.
She couldn't find the incision.
Glory. Power of God.
Come on.
All my kidney levels have been perfect ever since. Why, Josh? Because of the anointing. Now listen, Pastor Mike, let me hear. We got a young man in our church. He's I don't know what, I don't know if it's ADD, ADHD, or what. He's got something. He wide open as a case knife. He's older, younger fella. He's in his 40s. But I heard him. Pastor Mike said, "Listen, Pastor." Now, this is the truth, Brandon. I'm on the phone with Pastor Mike, and I hear Bo Secrets. Y'all know who I'm talking about, Bo. God have mercy. This is way Bo, he just took over the prayer. And here's what he said. He said, "God, tired of you fooling around." He said, "I'm talking about my pastor now." He said, "I'm talking about the man that I put my life on the line for. I'm talking about the man of God of this house. Now, God, I want you to quit wasting time. You said that you would heal. I believe it. Now, I want you to heal." I believe right then is when my kidneys was healed that night about 9 o'clock, well, about 8:30. They were just fixing to get out of choir practice. Why? Because a man had the willingness to pray a bold prayer of faith. Not disrespecting God, but having faith and confidence in the anointing of God. Here's, I'm going to close. Elisha said to his servant, Gehazi, said, "Take a staff." Now, if you'll study the staff of a prophet of God, it's got a lot of meaning to it. I don't have time to go into that. It wasn't something simple that Elisha was telling Gehazi. "You take it, take the staff, and go, you know, lay it on the boy, you know, and here's what the Shunammite woman said. I don't want no representative. I want the anointing. I want the one that made the promise." See, guys, I'm not trying to get out of anything because I'd love to lay hands on every head in here. That's the truth. I feel like I'm 41 years old again. Hey, man, that's it, brother, and it's going to stay here until everybody in here has got their need or their promise has been revived and resurrected. She said, "No, anointing, you got to go. You got to go." Okay, I guess I'll go. Y'all know the story. It's right there in the book. He got there. He went into the room where he slept, and there lay this dead boy. Amen. He stretched out on him, put his face to his face, hands to his hands. Got up, nothing happened. Laid back down again, and the boy sneezed. I had the privilege here about 2 years ago. One of our elderly men fell dead in our church during praise and worship, slipped over in the pew dead. We had several nurses checking him. He's gone. Pastor Mike, he quits with praise and worship. I get up where I sit, and I told Mike, I said, hey, don't stop praise and worship. Somebody come to me and said, Pastor, Brother Floyd dead. You probably heard this story, Brian. Brother Floyd dead. I said, not here. The anointing's in this house. They said, well, he's dead, Pastor. He ain't got a pulse. He's already turning blue. I said, not here. Went back. Didn't even lay hands on him. Walked back and said, in the name of Jesus, Floyd Hyman, live and not die. He sneezed. The anointing of God. Sneezed, set up. Paramedics said somebody, one of my doubters had called the paramedics. They got there. They checked him all out and couldn't find nothing, but said, precaution. He said, ain't nothing wrong with me. Well, for precautions. That's our problem. We've had too many precautions. Let's don't do it that way. Somebody might get offended. I don't care. I hope you realize that by now. I don't really care. But that promise sneezed 7 times. Some of you need to sneeze. Now, I'm gonna be a little bit professional here. Stand with me, if you will. That good praise band, come on back up.